court will proceed to the next case, the United States versus Mesia Zamora.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Tim Fischella, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Zamora, as well with Mr. Sharonis. Just briefly about Mr. Zamora, he was born in rural Mexico in 1985. He was one of nine children. He came here at the age of 16. He was here basically from age 16 to age 23. While he was here, he met his common-law wife, and they had two children. He was deported after a aggravated battery conviction in Cook County and came back to the Chicagoland area to be near his wife and children. He was subsequently charged with illegal reentry. His calculated guideline range in the district court was 41 to 51 months, and he received the bottom of that 41 months. Our position here today and in our briefs is that Mr. Zamora's sentence was excessive or greater than necessary. One of the issues we've raised in our brief is that the sentence was excessive based on the unavailability of fast-track sentencing in this jurisdiction. And after we submitted our initial brief and after Mr. Zamora was sentenced, this court decided the consolidated matter of U.S. v. Ramirez. In our reply brief, we try to address some of the court's concerns and guidelines set forth in that case. And one of those guidelines set forth is that the defendant promptly plead guilty. And in this case, Mr. Zamora was arrested on March 22nd of 2010. He was indicted on April 20th of 2010, and he pled guilty on January 26th of 2011. During that period of time, no substantive motions were filed. My understanding is that basically the biggest part of the delay was preparation of the pre-sentence investigation and other sort of administrative matters. He also, when he pled guilty, agreed to the government's factual basis with regard to the crime. He did not, at the time of sentencing, waive his right to an appeal, though if given the opportunity of a fast-track sentence, Mr. Zamora certainly would have waived his right to an appeal. Also, at the time, the case law was somewhat in flux as to what requirements the defendant should show in order to qualify for fast-track sentencing. In our brief, and in compliance with Ramirez in our reply brief, we have submitted two calculations. And those calculations, as the court's aware, the information about how the different districts handle the fast-tracks, they're not widely known, they're not publicly known, but for our calculations, we use the district-by-district memorandum that's cited in the U.S. v. Medrano-Duran case. In our brief, we cited two districts. One is the Southern District of California, and one is Oregon. And basically, both districts employ somewhat of the same charge bargain system. And under that charge bargain system, basically the defendant or the government agrees not to proceed on 8 U.S.C. 1326, but instead charges a defendant, and the defendant pleads guilty to two counts under illegal entry under 1325.
Would the prior aggravated battery conviction have any bearing on fast-track eligibility?
Your Honor, he would be eligible in both these districts. Basically, what they do is they employ sort of a two-level system. And for somebody with a prior crime of violence like Mr. Zamora had, he would receive the maximum for two counts of 1325. Which would put him at a total sentence of 30 months in those districts. And again, that's according to what's put out in Medrano-Duran, and I understand that's a 2005 case, and there may have been changes about how the U.S. attorneys handle those cases since then, but that's the greatest area of public knowledge as to that. And I think that 30-month sentence or potential sentence that he would have received in the Southern District of California or Oregon is significant. I think it's significant because Mr. Zamora here received a sentence of 41 months. And that sentence is 37, in terms of percentage-wise, 37% greater than he would have received in Oregon or Southern District. And just looking at it, In terms of 3553A6, if you received the maximum of the guideline range, which would be 51 months, that sentence would be 70% greater than the 30-month sentence he would have received in another district. So I think these are significant disparities and significant differences in the ways one would be treated in Southern District of California, Oregon, versus the Northern District of Illinois. And I think that's something the district court in this case could have and should have considered in sentencing Mr. Zamora. I believe the court did address the issue of fast-track sentencing at the sentencing hearing. And paraphrasing, the court's basic position was that, well, he didn't come to one of these other districts. He came to Illinois. And I certainly understand the court's position, and Mr. Zamora didn't have subjective knowledge of the law, but the law was out there, and he did not come to a fast-tracked district. He came to be near his wife and children in Chicago. But I would respectfully suggest that that argument sort of cuts against 3553A6, which is to say that there is a disparity here, and just because of a geographical difference, whether the defendant chose it or not, the sentence should not necessarily be at a minimum 30% greater just because of the geography. The purposes of the guidelines are to ensure that there is uniformity throughout the country for crimes of similar turpitude. One of the other issues we've raised in our briefs is that whether his guideline range was overstated by this prior offense, and we've sort of raised a number of sub-arguments with respect to that. One of the sub-arguments I would say is that this single offense was counted for on what I'll call basically both the X and Y axis. In terms of the base offense level, Mr. Zamora received an additional 16 points because he had committed a crime of violence. In terms of the Y, he received an additional 1 criminal history point for this prior crime, and then he received an additional 2 points because he reentered while on probation. And Mr. Zamora, like I stated earlier, had received probation for this prior crime in Cook County. He was deported subsequently after that, and once he was deported, he did not show up to court for his final disposition date and was otherwise unavailable to comply with his requirements of his probation, so that when he reentered while still on probation, giving him an additional 2 criminal history points, which moved him from level 1 to level 2. So I would suggest that here we have three criminal history points added for one offense on the x-axis and then 16 on the y-axis. And again, I'm not suggesting that it's double counting in the traditional sense, but I think it is for one single offense that the Cook County State's Attorney and the presiding judge in that matter, who had access to the facts and witnesses, felt a period of probation was appropriate for it to be counted so many different ways within the guideline range was excessive and rendered Mr. Zamora's sentence excessive in light of that. Your Honors,
you want to reserve some time for?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Costello. Mr. McKenna.
May it please the Court, Patrick McKenna for the United States. With regards to the fast-track issue, as defendant correctly put, the judge did in fact address the fast-track issue. And, Your Honors, as we all well know, that geographical disparities alone are something that can be taken into account, but a court does not err when he determines that geographic disparities alone are not a reason to give a fast-track disparity. Moreover, this fast-track argument that the defendant made was in fact illusory, and it shouldn't be remanded for the same reason that the fast tracks in Ramirez weren't. The defendant simply stated that he should receive a fast track variance because of the fact that an individual who was in a fast track district might receive one. He didn't make any attempt to show that he would in fact qualify. He made no attempt to show that he didn't waive any rights, specifically his appellate rights. Your Honors, while this case was before Sandoval Ramirez, it was after Almeida Garcia and also Reyes Hernandez. And those cases do allude to the fact that a defendant has to allege, if nothing else, has to show that he would be eligible for fast track and that he, in fact, would have pursued it by waiving appeal. He did nothing of the sort. So I believe that this fast track argument is completely illusory and remand would not be proper. With regards to the arguments about the criminal history, the 16-level enhancement, and double counting, first of all, Your Honors, this argument that the criminal history is overstated was never made to the district court. There were arguments made regarding the 16-point level enhancement, but they never mentioned the fact that the criminal history was overstated. Therefore, I don't think on appeal they could argue that the criminal history is overstated and the court abused its discretion by not considering that. With regard to the 16-point enhancement, the judge considered that, and the records replete with evidence that he addressed the 16-level enhancement. He found that such an enhancement wasn't done without any thought by the Sentencing Commission. He determined that it made sense, and it followed logically, that an individual who reenters the United States after committing a crime of violence would receive a greater sentence than an individual who entered the United States and had not committed a crime of violence. Again, the court found that this was properly calculated, that this individual, his crime, which the court put lots of weight into, the aggravated battery, justified such a 16-point level enhancement, and the defendant did not object to that. Your Honors, looking at this case in a whole, I believe that the evidence is replete that this individual, that the court considered the defendant's arguments. The court looked at the arguments in mitigation, considered them, weighed the sentencing factors, and determined that a sentence within the guidelines range was appropriate. On appeal, such sentence is presumptively reasonable.
If he's on probation and he's deported, of course he can't very well pursue the probation, can he?
It would be very difficult, Your Honor. That's true. But again, it's hard for the district court to consider that argument when that argument wasn't made to the district court.
Did you argue forfeiture in your brief?
No, we did not.
Are you arguing forfeiture today?
We are not. There are no more questions. I'd ask the court to affirm the sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenna. Mr. Fischel.
Thank you, Your Honor. In terms of the counsel talked about the requirements of the in order to for the court to consider fast track sentencing. Again, I would say that the Ramirez case, as the court noted, that the issue, and I think the phrase the court used was, the issue has been percolating for some time about what requirements a defendant should show in order to obligate the court to at least consider the fast-track sentencing. So these issues, I would suggest, were not necessarily available to the defendant at the time of sentencing, which is one of the reasons we are requesting remand.
But didn't Judge Koukouras consider the fast-track argument and reject it?
He did, Your Honor. And
Are you saying you would have argued it differently if those cases had been decided before your client's sentencing?
We would have, Your Honor. And with the availability of the memorandum in the Medrano-Duran brief, I believe, and now with the framework that's set forth in the consolidated Ramirez matter, there would have been a more thorough, like we did in our reply brief, calculation of what Mr. Zamora would have received in other districts and gone through those steps. At the time of Reyes-Hernandez, that decision cited some requirements based on the third district's decision in a matter, and the third district has a little bit of a different approach than the Seventh Circuit has announced in Ramirez. And basically the third district doesn't actually require you, from my understanding, to completely waive your appellate rights because they understand that puts the appellant in somewhat of a tricky position where he's waiving his appeal rights, but the court doesn't actually have to consider the fast-track argument. He's not getting the benefit of the bargain, so to speak, for...
What would be the arguments made if there were a remand on his qualifications for consideration, as you say, for a lower sentence? What would be presented to Judge Koukouras to suggest that if he applied the grid as you would have it in another district, Mr. Schell?
I think, again, Your Honor, we would include the calculations of other districts. We would also probably have from Mr. Zamora some sort of affidavit that would say If the court would be willing to consider the fast-track sentence, we would waive all other appellate issues, something to that effect, saying that he would, in fact, waive his appeal rights.
Do you get from this record a feeling that Judge Koukouras may not have been impressed with the sentence given in the state court?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
Well, he does speak, doesn't he, that he thought he got a gift from probation?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you were to present to Judge Koukouras renewed arguments, if he thought that he had not appreciated, I think is the words he used, the benefits of the criminal justice system in the state courts, do you believe Judge Koukouras would have arrived at a different figure, even if he applied this fast-track comparison to another, to a district that uses that?
I think potentially he would, Your Honor. I think when I actually looked at the disparities initially, I was shocked that in terms of a percentage, the difference somebody could face in one of these districts. And I think if we fully outline that to Judge Koukouras, it would perhaps have a...
What about the consideration of his membership in a gang? How would that be handled before Judge Koukouras on a renewed thing? It seems to me it was just representations of counsel, right, that he was not a violent gang member. So what would you be presenting to reinforce that observation?
And certainly, Your Honor, that was something that seemed to concern Judge Koukouras. I would suggest that the record itself did not show evidence of ongoing gang relationship with Mr. Zamora. There was sort of an anecdotal information that one of the, I believe the immigration enforcement officer may have been targeting gang members when he rearrested Mr. Zamora. But other than that sort of anecdotal information, we didn't have any other arrests since Mr. Zamora reentered and or anything along those lines.
Thank you, Mr. Fischella. Thanks to all counsel. Mr. Fischella, to you and to your associates, an additional thanks for accepting this appointment and ably representing the petitioner.
Thank you, Your Honor.